Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How do Disney movies influence our children? Let's go in-depth with Ashley Scolaro, professor of psychology at Central College. Professor Scolaro, what do you do at Central College?
So here at Central College, I teach a variety of different courses in psychology, as well as a course that's the capstone course for our senior students. So that course, a lot of different faculty teach, and the title of the one that I teach with one of my colleagues here at Central is called The Disneyfication of Identities, Representations, and Development. So in that class, we talk a lot about how media and Disney in particular, viewing that as a child, how that influences the way that you behave, how you represent yourself as a person in the world, and how that might affect your development throughout lifespan. In the psychology department, I teach a lot of our research courses, including general psychology, and then our capstone research course in the major, and some topics courses in a variety of subfields in psychology.
Disneyfication, is that the word you used?
Yeah.
Okay, so then we're all princes or princesses or henchmen or bad people or minions.
Yeah, that's... the way that we look at it is that in that class, we kind of go through some newer movies that Disney has done and some older movies and think about how viewing those movies impacts the way that we see a variety of things, whether that's gender. So how does viewing that, yes, make you feel like a prince or a princess? And you can see that in some of the articles we read that deal with children's play and how they get toys that are Disney-based and then they play very much like the plots in the movies and films, but also things like race. So how a lot of characters in the film are predominantly white or voiced by white actors rather than individuals of different races. Even in films like Aladdin, where they're taking place in another culture, they're still voiced by white actors. And what does that potentially mean about how children see race and how people of non-white races might view themselves? So, a wide variety of different topics in there. And that particular course is meant for graduating seniors early. Reflect on all of the courses they've taken at Central. So it's a way for them to draw on things that they've done in their major and other courses and kind of think about, you know, what have I learned and how can I apply that?
Okay, so what you're telling us is what we might see and kids might see as these innocent, oh, nice little stories of love and adventure are actually shaping our brains and our identities and maybe positive and maybe not so positive ways.
Yeah, definitely. And that happens for everybody. So children being sponges and us still liking stories and being drawn to them, thinking about who has power when they're telling stories and how does that reflect how our culture is set up and how does that culture change over time. So movies like Dumbo look a lot different than movies like Aladdin and even the newer movies like Wreck-It Ralph or some newer ones that have come out more recently.
Well, and some of the older ones they don't even show anymore because of stereotypes that we now find uncomfortable or just bad.
Yeah, definitely.
My brain was shaped by those Disney movies when I was a kid, and so I'm shaped by that. And so I'm just essentially a Disney character of some sort. And is that right, at least in part?
Well, what we would say is that the films change as culture changes. So the films offer us a snapshot of what culture was like at that particular point in time. And of course, Disney as a corporation is going to be promoting things that corporation holds dear as well. But over time, what you'll see is there's shifts. So like you're saying, the older films would have had different types of characters that are stereotyped in certain ways. And that's the classic example that we use in the class is the crows in Dumbo. I'm not sure if you remember them, but they're a group of crows, and they speak in a very a way that historically you would recognize as being a stereotyped view of how African Americans would speak. And that was voiced by white actors mimicking what they had heard African-American workers saying, essentially. And so if you look at that film, that's not something you would see in today's film. So stereotypes shift over time. And what we wouldn't be saying is that Disney is causing that. We're saying that Disney is kind of a snapshot of the culture at large. So this children wouldn't just be seeing it in Disney films. They're things that they would see throughout their world experience.
Okay, because Disney is both a product of culture but also shapes culture, so this feedback thing.
Correct. Yes, correct.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Ashley Scolaro, professor of psychology at Central College, about how Disney movies influence our children. Am I right in thinking that maybe these kinds of stereotypes in particular shape the minds of girls? Because there's this whole, you know, princess thing going through them all, and everybody's supposed to be a princess, right?
Yeah.
And maybe everybody is a princess, but I don't know. It just sort of seems very narrowing of expectations for girls. Am I just making too much out of this?
No, I think that we would say that. And we would say that it's actually narrowed quite a bit for boys as well, because just as you would see girls being princesses, you'll see boys being superheroes. And Disney as a corporation has definitely noticed that. So now with the Star Wars Enterprise being kind of part of some of these Disney theme parks, you can see experiences for girls to dress up like princesses, but also things for boys to be Jedi Knights and these sorts of experiences. And so just like girls would become princess obsessed, we see boys in our culture being very much superhero obsessed. I have two small children, a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they almost on an hourly basis want to play some sort of superhero game where there's a bad guy and a good guy. So it would go definitely for both genders, not just girls.
It's hard to even imagine another world where we didn't. Well, I guess if we, you know, examined other cultures and their narratives about their stories about identity, we would maybe have different perceptions for our roles in life.
Correct. Yeah, that's something we also address in the course. So we have students look at stories, folk tales from other cultures, some of which Disney has taken and made these films out of. And then we just kind of have them look at those films and think about, or those stories rather, and think about how they'd be different if they were told in our culture. So kind of change what's being presented in that story to our culture. What would Disney essentially do if they were looking at that particular story? And those stories are very different in that sometimes the hero's in a girl and the hero doesn't need saving in a way that they might need saving in films or stories that we talk about in today. So I like to think about what the character from The Hunger Games is an example of a character that doesn't necessarily need saving on her own all of the time. Katniss, I think, is her name. And that story is a little bit different, and people get really attached to those in our culture because it's something that you don't see very often. So they're definitely out there, stories where there's a different perspective and different things happening in them.
But if you always see stories when at this very informative age with this very fascinating, you know, medium of animation, but if you always see girls needing to be saved and boys always needing to be saving girls, that sets up, I don't know, roles and expectations that are maybe problematic.
Yeah, that's what we spend a lot of time talking about in our section that we talk about gender is, what does this mean? Is it problematic? If it is, then what would you do as a parent? Because it's going to be pretty difficult to get your child raised without having any exposure to any of this, because it's not just in a film, it's everywhere. And so a lot of discussion centers around that. What is a girl constantly seeing that she needs to be saved? What does that tell us about how girls might grow up and what they might think adulthood would look like?
Now, I know we've got some listeners out there that are saying, oh, Bob, you're overanalyzing. These are just fun stories yes. that kids like to see. Do you get, first, are they wrong? And second, do you get any? I bet you get a lot of that.
Yeah, that's something we deal with a lot in the class on a regular basis. In fact, one of the things we hear most frequently at the end of the course is, well, you know, what would you have to do? What would Disney have to do to make you happy? Or these authors that we're reading about? And the answer really is that we're just being critical like we should always be, and critical not necessarily meaning negative, but just really trying to think about what's happening in the world, what is this story telling me, and how might that be affecting my behavior, and is that a good or bad thing? We're not necessarily saying Disney is bad. In fact, that's something we say from the beginning. We're never telling you that. We just want to be critical of any medium that we're taking, whether that's Disney, whether that's the news that we're listening to, or stories that we're sharing with others, just kind of being critical. And it doesn't, you can still enjoy it. So we still, I laugh through the Disney films. I still watch them with my children. It's just more of, what does this mean? What is this telling us? And what should we do, kind of knowing how this film might be portraying gender or race or class or whatever that might be.
So if we're going to be manipulated, we might want to just look and think actively about how we're being manipulated.
Correct. Yeah. And not that, and also not to say that Disney is trying to manipulate us, although they would like us to continue to use their brand as any company would do, but they're not doing it any more than McDonald's might do when they're trying to get our kids into to get a particular toy that they have in their Happy Meal. So it's not necessarily them trying to manipulate us in a way that corporations haven't been doing for years. It's just being aware that that's out there, even in things that are fun and innocent, kind of being aware of that.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Ashley Scolaro, professor of psychology at Central College, about how Disney movies influence our children. This isn't you and your colleague just sitting down and logically working through how this is manipulating or how the images are influencing us. Maybe that's a better word than manipulation. But you're a cognitive neuroscientist too. So you're looking at how the brain responds. This isn't just, you know, logic of some kind of a social science examination. You're looking much deeper.
Yeah. So as in my specific discipline, that is definitely the lens that we have, is how the brain during development might be changed as you have these social experiences. So as you see media, how does that impact a developing brain? How do our brains react when we see something that's different than what our expectations are? So when we do see films that are outside of the norm, how does that, you know, impact our brain? And how does our brain react when we see what we would expect to see in a film? So when the plot plays out like you would expect it to play out, how does our brain respond? How does our thinking change? Those would be the things that we talk about in my discipline.
And I bet people have done like brain scans and see how different parts of the brain work and when we're responding to these kinds of visual stimuli. I bet they've probably done over time studies with kids to see how the brain is shaped. Has that happened?
So I don't know of any study that's done that with Disney specifically, so that have looked at that. We know that during development there are changes in the brain. That's something that you see repeatedly increases the likelihood that when you see that image in the future, your brain will respond to that. So you get essentially further strengthening of connections in the brain when you see something repeatedly. So that's also why we learn things. You know, the more that you study something or you try to memorize something, the likelier you're going to be able to recall that in the future. The same for children. So when we think about gender and the themes that you might see in Disney or other children's based films, how does that girl seeing girls frequently being saved, when she's viewing that and sees that repeatedly over time, we know that in the future, if she sees a plot where there's something happening to a girl, she might be likely to expect, well, this girl's likely going to get saved and everything will be okay in the end.
That, let's say that as our brains have been shaped at one time, our children's brains are being shaped at another time, then the expectations we might have, let's just say regarding gender roles or something else, it doesn't matter, might be different than what our kids have. And so they might be influenced in toward behaviors that we might not understand or appreciate. Is that possible?
Yeah, I would say anybody that has a teenager or has had a teenager in their house can probably relate to that pretty quickly, because that's kind of the, in adolescence, that's what they're doing a lot of the time, is changing what their parent, doing something different than what their parents would have typically done. So whether that's using words at home that might be taboo words or swearing and curse words that their parents don't approve of, that might have changed. Their parents might not even know they're using one of those words, because that changes with generations, or other things that teenagers do that are different when they that creates lots of generational gaps. So you can imagine how conversations between either grandparents and grandchildren could represent different expectations. So grandparents might have grown up in a generation where certain words weren't taboo, and for their grandchild, those words might be taboo now. So, yeah, that's definitely the case, that expectations change over time, and parents and children are going to have different sets of expectations growing up, and the brain is part of the reason that that happens over time.
Well, you recently received the David Crichton Memorial Teaching Award for Excellence. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So having these interesting subject matters has to be at the center of why you're such an effective teacher, I would guess.
I think students like having, yeah, these courses where we talk about things that are easy for them to grasp onto and fun to discuss. Yeah, I think that definitely is part of it.
Thanks to Ashley Scolaro for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.